This is Game On. Host Zete Williams.
Game On!
Let's get a crack in. 3 o'clock standing tall, feeling good here on a Friday. Zete Williams, Ari, he's got the wheels of steel. Game On. The game, NBC Sports 20. That's 9:20, the game. Yes. Getting busy here on a Friday, folk, huh? Ah, what'd you see last night? Oh, my God. I was doing my thing over at High Scores, biggest crowd we've had there. And the one over here off of Decatur and Blue Diamond, by the way. And I can't believe it. I didn't know there were that many Kansas City Chiefs fans in the city. That's why I bring it up. Kansas City Chiefs fans are invading Las Vegas, I guess. And what a rout. I mean, they basically had their way in that second half. You talk about making in-game adjustments, and that's exactly what happened. They started to bring the heat. You know, you bring in three, now let's bring four. Let's bring a guy from the outside. Let's bring a guy from the inside. And Brady was starting to get hit. And if you start thinking back in your mind, when is Tom Brady most ineffective? Is when he's starting to hit the ground, because he becomes uncomfortable. He's very emotional these days. So you know what he's saying in the huddle, protect me. And they couldn't. And Houston just had a field day where they have 5 sacks, I believe, 4 or 5 sacks. Houston had 2 or 3 of them. I thought that was a safety that won, but the 42-27 route. And you're talking about 4 touchdowns unanswered down the stretch in that ball game. Kansas City did to New England what New England did to the Dirty Birds in the Super Bowl. Shut them down in that fourth quarter, and I called it a Super Bowl hangover. But that really wasn't what it was. It was just that Kansas City made in-game adjustments and did what they had to do. Coming up in about 5 minutes, George Cole from Ayante and Kennery North. He's going to tell you how things went in game and things of that nature with that game as far as where it closed and everything else. And also college, big college football games coming up beginning tomorrow. We'll also get into the WNBA playoffs, CFL, NASCAR, and then we'll jump on the big games in the NFL because there's quite a few of them. I'm just sitting here feeling good, and I'm not a Patriots hater. I am a Tom Brady fan. I actually like Bill Belichick. But I've never seen anyone go into Foxborough and roll these boys like they got rolled last night. That was fun to watch. And not that I'm – look, Kansas City's in that division where my team is, San Diego. So I'm rooting really in hindsight to see New England win that ball game. So Kansas City would chalk up a loss. That's not a good game for a team to win if you're a Raider fan, a Bronco fan, or a Charger fan. Because now Kansas City got the biggest one out the way. Who knows what they were last year? Were they 12-4? So they're coming back around now. And they're picking up where they left off at last year. And then you have Alex Smith. Who was that? Who was playing in place of Alex Smith last night at quarterback? I hadn't seen that guy before. They're throwing the ball down the field. And they're throwing bombs, man. Alex Smith is normally a check down guy, dink and dunk guy. But no. They were going after him, and it paid off. Everything they wanted to do in that fourth quarter to that defense, you talk about exposure, they were totally exposed all the way around. Just couldn't do anything, period. Their defense. And I was impressed. Where else do you go when you see that? What else can you say when it's New England, it's Tom Brady, the most fiery dude in the NFL, the face of the league, okay? Terrific Tom, huh? Either love him or you hate him. I actually love him. But it was kind of weird because I kind of enjoyed seeing them getting their ass handed to him right there in Foxborough, which never happens. Hunt, 150 yards damn near, rushing the football. When does Alex Smith hook up with a guy for over 150 yards? Okay, he had Hill. Tom Brady, on the other hand, flatliner. Didn't throw a TV the whole game, TD at all, period. No touchdowns for Terrific Tom. That never happens, never. 21 unanswered points in that fourth quarter. I thought for sure watching the first quarter of that ball game, it was going to be a situation where they were just going to walk right through them. The Patriots scored the first touchdown. Then I'm thinking, okay, that's it. Then the touchdown drop. And what was up with Gronk? Gronk looked like an average tight end. He did not look like Gronk last night. Totally just, he had nothing. So we'll see what happens. I'm quite sure right now they're already, no day off for you guys. 9 days counting today for your next game. I guarantee you there was no off day. Belichick, I saw him in his presser earlier, and he was just, there was no compliments to hand to anyone. And that's the way I think it should be. Even if someone else, let's say a special teams guy kept you in the game, he may have run one back to the house and the other one was taken back to their 15, whatever. He doesn't get praise because we got beat and we got embarrassed on national TV in the opening game of the regular season. And we're the defending Super Bowl champs. And when you think back to it, that's exactly what happened in the Super Bowl. Just flip the script. The Patriots did that to the Atlanta Falcons. And on this turn, the Kansas City Chiefs did it to the Patriots. Yep. All right, we're going to get up George Cole. He's our special guest coming up here from Ayante in Cannery North. And we'll talk about exactly what happened in game as far as the Cannery and also Ayante, things of that nature. But I don't think we'll see another game like that from Tom Brady. I don't think we'll see another game like that at all, either from the Patriots overall in general. You just won't see it. You just won't see it. It's one of those situations where I guarantee you Belichick won't let it happen again unless there is one thing that can change the entire thing and flip it. If Tom Brady is now a 40-year-old. If he's really a 40-year-old who plays like a 40-year-old, which we have no evidence of, you can't go off of that last night and say, oh, Tom Brady doesn't have it anymore. No. Their defense couldn't do anything to stop him. Joining us right now is a man over at Ayante and also Cannery North, George Cole. George, how are you, brother?
Hey, I'm doing good, bud. How are you?
Doing great. What was that last night?
Well, what that was called a sigh of relief for the sports books. At 5 minutes into the game, it looked like they were going to be down, 6 minutes into the game, it looked like they were going to be down 14-0. I mean, New England came out, marched right down the field, and then Kareem Hunt come out and fumble on his first run of the game, and next thing you know, Brady's firing down the middle to Gronk, and then, you know, luckily the replay came back that he didn't hold on to the ball, and Chiefs held him to a field goal. I think at that point, in game, we were something like minus 16.5 on the Patriots.
Wow. And what did they grab? The public grabbed what?
In the beginning, people weren't jumping on the Chiefs because it just looked like New England was going to, you know, march all over them. But then as it came back throughout the night, yeah, we took a little bit of Chiefs money. We didn't make, you know, a killing on the game, but what it does is it really knocks out so many parlays that started off the week. So we'll see the effects come throughout today, tomorrow, and Sunday of people's parlay cards that are actually already dead now.
Boy, that is something else. You know, I learned this lesson, a couple of things if you're a bettor and you string them together. One is if you have, let's say, 6 bets in your pocket, don't have the same team on 4 of those tickets, right?
Yeah.
One.
Yep.
And the other is, why do you have to take the first game and tie it into the games on Sunday? Why can't that be a single bet, you know? We get greedy.
I mean, people look at the Patriots almost like it's going to be a guaranteed win. And, you know, I was sitting next to somebody, and, you know, they were just, an average guy. And he's like, oh, I'm going to just keep loading up on the Patriots throughout this in-game. And I said to him, I said, hey, 16.5 points, this is still an NFL game. I mean, it's not too often somebody loses by 16.5. At that point, I had no idea that, you know, the Chiefs were going to actually turn around and whip them. But, I mean, 16.5 is a lot of points.
Did that change the future on Kansas City?
You know, we'll see. People tend to react over the first game. You know, they looked real good. But in the same sense, if the ball had, fallen a different way on a couple things, Patriots could have been up 14-0. How often are you going to see Tom Brady get stuffed on, you know, quarterback sneaks and stuff? I mean, those are plays that just, you know, they never get stuffed on fourth down twice in a game. And I got to give it to Kansas City. They did it.
Have you heard anyone say yet, oh, he's 40. He looked 40.
Oh, yeah, of course. I heard that this morning from everybody. You know, I mean, what was it? Was it 4 or 5 years ago? They had a pretty, like, rough run in the beginning of the year, and people were talking about, are they going to sit Tom Brady down? And next thing you know, they reel off 10 straight and I think won the Super Bowl that year. So I think it's a little too early to sound the alarms.
I am with you all the way.
Age is eventually going to catch up to him, but, you know, he did lose some of his new receivers. They have new players in the game. Trust me, I think come week 3, week 4, we'll see the Patriots that everybody thought they were going to see last night. They might just have a few growing pains, but trust me, they slip into the playoffs at 11-5. They'll be just fine.
As the voice of George Cole, he is the Race and Sportsbook Manager, Director at Aliante and Cannery North. George, where did the game close last night?
I think we closed at 9.5.
Okay, so, I mean, look, you had no shot, for one. If you had the Patriots walking in, you thought you had a winner, and it felt comfortable. I had the under, so I got beat, and I knew by halftime I wasn't going to win that bet, but I wanted to really just enjoy the game and kind of pay attention to what was going on. And it was amazing when you watched the defense of the Patriots. They couldn't stop these guys. And then you also had Alex Smith throwing more than 15, 20, 30 yards down the field.
Well, it's almost like that was kind of the biggest shock of the game. Where was this Alex Smith? I guess maybe drafting Patrick Mahomes behind him was the play of the day.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. When you have competition, someone younger, aspiring, and good, it puts a little pressure on you, doesn't it? And now, if you're the head coach, you could say, hey, listen, we're going to start throwing the ball down the field more. You got this?
Yeah.
You better say yeah, so, right?
Yeah, he looked good, man. And I'll tell you what, that running back, I mean, he looked like a receiver running down the field.
Wow. Yeah, when you talk about what Hunt did, dude had nearly 150 yards in that one touchdown. West also came in and did a pretty good job. And then we know Alex Smith used to be pretty memorable. He used to be able to run around quite a bit. Not as much as in the past, but in the end, when you have guys like Hill, you have guys like Hunt and West, and then the big sausage and Kelsey, throw the ball, right?
Yeah, and I mean, they're doing a good job of throwing different formations at you. And I mean, you know, Hill in the backfield, and I mean, he was even taking it up the gut a few times last night.
As the voice of George Cole, he's over at Aliante, Cannery North. George, we'll come back to the NFL and some of the other games we'll share with the listeners. Let's go to some of the bigger college games coming up this week, and I'll let you jump in and get us started.
All right, real quick, I mean, just one to kind of mention tonight, just because, you know, it's Oklahoma State. They're a 28.5-point favorite against Southern Alabama. That it opened at 29. Looks like we took a little bit of sharp money on Southern Alabama. 10-1 ticket count on Oak State. Also have Purdue -3. They played a pretty good game last week, but that actually opened at 3.5. It's down to 3. It looks like the sharps are on Ohio. And then, yeah, tomorrow it starts. A lot of big games. Nebraska, Oregon. Oregon had opened 13.5. That's actually back down. Stayed at 13.5. That moved up to 14 at one point. Wisconsin's a 34-point favorite against Florida Atlantic. Let's see what else we're getting a lot of action on right now. Louisville -10 over North Carolina. Looks like they're looking for Louisville to bounce back. And as we keep going, Penn State -21.5 over Pittsburgh. Sharps are betting Pittsburgh.
Are they?
Yeah, it looks like that line had opened at, God, there's so many games on the board now. It actually opened at 21.5, but it looks like at one point it popped up to 22.5, and the sharps jumped all over that.
You got a big one in Auburn and Clemson. Auburn-Clemson.
Auburn-Clemson.
Yeah, that one is, I guess they sent it out at 6.5 and 54.
We are at 6 -115 on Clemson. Yeah, we opened at 6 in 54. It's 6 minus 115, and now the total's up to 55. I had even heard some talk. I don't know. They were talking about, you know, with some of the weather this weekend. Who knows what's going to go on with some of these games. And then the fires out in Oregon, they were actually a little bit nervous that game might not. And, oh, another game that will be another big one tomorrow night is the Georgia-Notre Dame. Notre Dame's minus 6 at home. All the money's coming in on Georgia in that game. It looks like that one had opened at Notre Dame minus 5. They're now up to 6. The total in that game is 50. Open at 55.5. Now we're sitting at 57.
Okay, the other big game, there's a couple, but the Ohio State-Oklahoma game.
Oklahoma, yes, sir. That's Ohio State had opened at 7.5. We're sitting at 7.5. Looks like the total, 64.5. We're down to 64 on that. Wow, it's we have a difference of 15 tickets on that game.
Really?
Straight bets, a difference of 6. So overall, that's kind of a two-way action on that game. Tons of sharp money on Stanford in the SoCal-Stanford game. Hmm. SoCal had opened 6 and 55.5. The lines are staying the same, but all the money's coming in on Stanford.
Now, the game under that is very crucial to our hearts, right? UNLV, Idaho.
I felt so bad about that last week. I mean, it's such a tough situation. I just hope they can pull out a win this week.
Okay, that number, would you send it out, and where is it now, the total and the side?
We sent it out at 6.5. It actually still is 6. Total was 71. We're down to 70. Looks like we took a limit play right on the 71 when that came out. And yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's hard to argue that there's been a coach that's done more for UNLV football over the last, you know, 10 years. But, yeah, he needs to get a W in this game.
If they lose this ball game here, I just wonder what that line will be the coming game after that when they the Buckeyes, they're going to be ready to just, man. If they're 0-3 is my point, then what?
Yeah, I mean, you know, because two of them, you know, 2 years ago, if you had asked about playing Idaho and
Howard,
I mean, who would have? You count those as automatic wins. I mean, people were talking about, I think last year UNLV opened up like a 9-point favorite against Idaho. Does that sound right?
Sounds about right.
So within a year, you've taken a huge swing. You know, now Idaho being a heavy favorite against them, that's not good news.
And that's, yeah, I heard Dave Koken say that earlier. You can look at the programs and you can assess them by what the side was last year on the spread. Like you said, the Rebels pretty close to a double-digit favorite last year, and this year you flip it, and they're a touchdown underdog. So that tells you, well, for one, I mean, knowing that Idaho's about to leave D1, they're pissed off, so anyone they play, they're going to ball their fists up and try to punch them in the mouth and draw blood. And the Rebels just happen to be the next lined up. This is not a good spot for UNLV.
It's an away game, you know. I mean, there was a lot of excitement going into this game. Now, like you said, if they don't win this one, they come back 0-3. I mean, who knows, you know, what the score is going to be out in Ohio State. And yeah, I just hope they can pull it together.
George Cole, Yonte, Kennery North here on Game On, NBC Sports Radio, 920 The Game. All right, George, let's rough to the WNBA playoffs underway now.
Yeah, it looks like we got the two playoff games. They are on Sunday. The Sun opened up, but that stayed right where it is. Like I said, nowadays it's funny. I'm looking at it. You know, you're talking WNBA playoffs, but, you know, it's football season now. We've taken one bet so far on both the games. The Sun had opened 4.5. It's sitting right at 4.5. Total 165. Following that game, Liberty opened 5 at the Mystics. Haven't taken a single bet on that game yet.
Wow.
I mean, I'm sure some people throw it on their parlay cards. If our number, you know, is off a little bit to where the sharps may want to take a bet at it, but, you know, we are full-blown into football season now.
And speaking of football season, let's take it north of the border, the CFL. What do you have?
Yes, sir. It looks like we have one game tonight, and that is the Alouettes and BC Lions. BC had opened 7.5. That's now at 8.5. Total is 50. That opened 49.5. Handful of bets on that. Not much. Going into tomorrow, we got three games, the Rough Riders, Blue Bombers. Blue Bombers are -2, up a half point from 1.5. Red Blacks are a 12-point favorite at home against the Tiger Cats. That's down from 12.5. And finally, the Stampeders are 6 at the Eskimos. That's right where it opened. But, again, you know, people are concentrating on college football and NFL now.
That's amazing. Okay, one more sport before we jump back into the NFL, and that's NASCAR.
Yeah, I mean, we always like to talk a little bit of NASCAR. And, again, same names up top. They are racing in Richmond on Saturday late afternoon. Kyle Busch, 4-1. Denny Hamlin, 4-1. Martin Truex, 9-2. Harvick, 5-1. Looks like Brother Kurt, 25-1. Little E, 45-1. And then, of course, you know, as we always like to mention, Danica Patrick, 150-1.
We had to ask you about Danica. So 150, yeah. So it's gone up.
Yeah, you know, I mean, hey, I guess that now that, thank God we didn't have a money line on Howard.
Oh, and some people did, at least in faraway places, right?
Yeah, I don't think anybody in town does. I mean, it's what it is. There's just so much risk for such little reward. You know, a game like that, if you, on the money line, you're going to have a few people that just have a few extra bucks in their pocket, put $20 on the money line, $20 on the money line. You end up with, you know, $500 on the Howard money line, none on the UNLV. So the chances of you may be able to win $500, but, you know, in turn, you can lose $100,000 on that $500. You know, most people don't want to take that shot.
Agreeable. All right, let's go back to the NFL here, George, and let's start with the first game, looking back east at the Jets and Buffalo in the east of the AFC. Our good friend Scott Spreitzer, who joins us every Thursday, he's got the Jets. Is he in there with most people, or is he going in the other direction on that one?
Well, it opened at 9. It's sitting at 9. Same thing on the totals, 40.5. We're about 2-1 ticket count on the Bills. We do have a little bit more sharp money on the Jets, but it's pretty evenly bet.
We'll walk down some of the other key matchups. Of course,
a lot of money on the Falcons Bears. Falcons at 7 even right now. Ticket count huge on the Falcons. We are taking a little bit of sharp money on the Bears. Looks like in the Texans are -5.5 hosting the Jaguars. 6-1 ticket count on the Texans. Eagles -1.5 at the Redskins. Majority of the money and tickets are on the Eagles. I know that had, I think that game flip-flopped. I want to say the Redskins had originally opened up -1.5 when we put that out a few months ago. Cardinals -1.5 at the Lions. Pretty evenly bet in that one.
And that's a
Raiders
that's,
taking a lot
wait,
of
wait,
bets.
Hold on. That's a key game. Let's go back Arizona-Detroit because a couple of years ago, Arizona was right there in the mix before Carson Palmer got injured. So they lost some other players to injuries, things of that nature. But could this be a rebound year for them? And we saw Detroit somewhat rise.
Yeah, and they threw some money at their quarterback. It looks like the Sharps took the Lions pretty good at +2. That's back to +1.5. This will be an interesting year. I don't think the Cardinals look great in the preseason, but, I mean, these days, how can you look at any of that stuff? So, yeah, we'll see if Carson Palmer rebounds this year.
And this right here game is also one of the key games coming up you're about to jump on.
Yeah, the Raiders-Titans. Titans -2.5. That opened at 2. So the public, it looks like that game's pretty evenly bet. We're going to be heavy on Raiders parlays in that game.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Next, we got the Bengals-Ravens. People are pretty high on the Bengals this year again. Bengals are -3, -105. Pretty evenly bet. A few more parlays on the Bengals. Then we get to the we're going to need the Browns to hold on. Steelers are -9.5. Looks like we have a ton of tickets on Steelers parlays. Rams are actually -4 against the Colts. I guess they don't have too much faith in the Colts quarterback. We'll see what Jared Goff does this year. Most of the money is on the Rams.
Next game is pretty big.
Yep, Seahawks-Packers. Packers -3, -120. Extremely evenly bet. Have slight ticket count on the Packers with parlays, but money is pretty well even. wow, this is another big public game for us. We're going to need the 49ers. Panthers are -5.5. Heavy, heavy ticket count on the Panthers. We have taken a little bit of sharp action on the 49ers. Cowboys -4 hosting the Giants. Looks like the majority of the money is on the Giants. Ticket count fairly close. Probably a few more tickets on the Cowboys. And then for our two Monday night games, let me get down here. We got the Vikings -3, -120. Looks like the ticket count's a little high on the Saints +3 even. And then finally, I still have a hard time saying it, the Los Angeles Chargers
right.
and the Denver Broncos. Broncos -3, -120. Pretty heavy ticket count on the Broncos.
You know, it's weird because you look at the West and Kansas City already won up. And they beat the best team, at least we thought the best team, and being New England. So now there's pressure on these other teams, the Raiders at Tennessee, where you have that two-headed monster in Murray and Henry, and Mariota, of course, being the quarterback there. If he's healthy, Tennessee, to me, could be a juggernaut, not only winning that division that they're in the AFC, but at the same time, I think they could be a playoff team that might be able to win a game.
Right. So, yeah, I mean We shall see. It's going to be I think everybody had kind of thought the Patriots were going to run away with the league this year, and I think it's going to be a little bit closer than most people think. I think there's going to be a lot of divisions that are a lot tighter than people think.
George, as far as future bets, is there anything that you can think of top of your head where the public hammered or the sharps hammered already?
Like we were saying, I mean, it was all over the Raiders. It looked like right now. Let me see if I can get to the bottom of it. Yeah, I think the only team that we were really worried about was the Raiders right
now.
Another, we have some interesting props. You know, the division to win the championship. AFC East is a favorite. NFC East right behind them. NFC West, everybody else kind of about +600. Like I said, now we have some other, you know, NFL props up right now. Most receiving yards in the regular season and we've got a lot of different stuff on the board. But like I said, I think as far as the NFL futures went, it was the only team we were really worried about would be if the Raiders. And I think most people in town feel a little bit safe about that.
Let me back you up a bit. Did you just say, like, you have a prop up on which division's going to end up getting the championship for the Super Bowl?
Yes, I did.
That is nice.
Yep, yep. We're trying to, you know, like I said, just little by little. Throw some more stuff up. I'm not sure if they're going to leave that up throughout the year and just make adjustments on it. But I will find out, and I'll have an answer for you next week on the radio.
So some of the other properties doing the same thing there?
I don't know about around town. I just know what we, you know, like we, like I said, we still have, looks like as far as to win the NFC, they started coming in on the Packers a little bit. To win the AFC, still heavy on the Patriots. Like I said, it looks like the one team we'd kind of want to avoid it would be the Raiders. And then, yeah, like I said, back for the Pro Football Championship, the Raiders would hurt. But other than that, it looks like we're okay right now.
All right, my friend, let the folks know about the phone app.
We are at BeConnectedSports.com, available for the Android and iPhone. It's free to download. You don't need to have an account to have it. If you do put it on your phone, you have up-to-the-minute odds on everything Boyd Gaming has to offer. When you're comfortable with the app, come on into one of our sports books, open it up, and feel free to open your account. You'll have everything you want on the palm of your hand. Just wanted to put a reminder, too. We had one of your Lotus Broadcasting people out last night. Steph is doing a parties on Thursdays and Mondays up here at Aliante.
Yeah, Steph, boy, she can handle the mic, huh?
Yeah, yeah, it was fun. We were talking about you for a little bit, and we had a couple good chuckles.
That's awesome. Always a pleasure, George.
All right, my man.
All right, that's George Cole, Aliante, Cannery North. He is the manager, race and sportsbook director of those two properties over there. Was over at the Gold Coast for a while and moved on up, and hey, We'll keep him in line and keep him on the air for this slot, 3 o'clock, 3:10 or so here on Game On. You know, I guess Ezekiel Elliott won the injunction from a Texas court, so the NFL barred from imposing suspension for the duration of the lawsuit, which is likely the entire season. So if you're a Cowboy fan, you're like, yay, We can exhale right now. So the TRO is in. And that right there is a big win for the Dallas Cowboys this particular season. Sure, you have the offensive line. You had a couple of other running backs you could put behind that offensive line and will your way down the field. But for a guy who had 1,600-plus yards last year, was a sensation. If he could keep his ass out of trouble, pulling blouses down, knocking people out in bars, driving over 100 miles an hour in his car, and whatever else they assume happened before he got to the Cowboys. Keep this in mind. The initial trouble had nothing to do with the other things that I just mentioned. It was all about what happened back at Ohio State with his girlfriend and the alleged domestic violence situation where she documented stuff, took pictures of herself, sent it to her auntie or relative, and they basically went through the whole formality of, hey, we're going to get this guy. Now, when you say you're going to get somebody or I'm going to jack up his career, it doesn't mean she's going to do something foul. She could have been saying, I'm going to jack up his career for doing this to me. So it depends on how you interpret it. But for now, he wins. And let this be a lesson if you're Ezekiel Elliott. Maybe you could grow up a little now. All the things that you've gotten yourself into, nobody made you pull that girl's blouse down when you were doing your thing. That wasn't a Mardi Gras. That was St. Patrick's Day. Pulls the girl's blouse down while they're up on that parade, in that parade. The other thing, he knocks a dude out at a bar. And then he's driving over 100 miles an hour. And then he goes, during the preseason up in Seattle, he goes to a dispensary and does the Ezekiel Elliott experience. I didn't buy any weed. I was just there. I wanted to check it out. Well, do it during the offseason, buddy. Gee. So it's him. It's him. He's fortunate. And if something else happens with him, then we know already he's just a bad person. All right? That's the way it works. All right. Stepping out, lighters up. Dope is next.
Man, I've been saving for a special occasion.
Looks like a quarter pounder, man. Led Zeppelin.
Man, be careful with that, man.
Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for, man, that show is dope.
3:37 in the valley. Lighters up. Pass it. Hey, folk, you remember this? Remember the old Mini Kiss golf place over off of Harmon and Paradise Road, right? Okay, not there anymore. However, the peeps who put that monster mini golf course over there, they're about to put a new golf course up at Bally's Hotel and Casino this fall. 10,000 square feet, okay, 18 holes, backlight course, an arcade called the Twilight Zone. How about that, huh? The Twilight Zone coming to you very soon. The Twilight Zone, the first, as you know, the episode of the Twilight Zone, the show, 1959, it came on 5 seasons on CBS. Each episode consists of characters dealing with the paranormal, the futuristic, and unusual events. Well, here you're going to have this on this course. Dig this. This 10,000 square foot facility, 18 holes, backlight course, an arcade, sci-fi wedding chapel, special event space, bowling, and gift shop at Bally's Hotel and Casino called the Twilight Zone. Man, that be dope.
Hey, field trip. I like that. I like that for a first date. Just for the record, I think that's a good...
Not just a first date. That's a perfect date.
But yeah, you're right. You're right. But the first date, because then, you know, she'll be scared and... That's a comforter.
She'll be
probably
scared.
A little cheaper than going somewhere else.
Is that what you got to do? Get her scared? Get her fired up by fear?
And then show her that I can protect her, right?
Okay.
Hey.
All right.
All right. On to something a little more heartwarming here. The story is a 7-year-old Haley Dawson, and she wants to throw out the ceremonial first pitch, and she has a 3D printed hand. and she wants to throw it out at every ballpark. So far, she has done it for the Orioles and the Nationals. They invited her to throw out the first pitch. She was born without three fingers. It's a rare disease, and they were able to use a 3D printer. This is like the future of a lot of stuff. Wow. I didn't know they were really doing it like this with medical stuff. I've heard, you know, for like architecture, things like that. But yeah, they hold it. It's held together with fishing line, and she controls her fingers with the flick of a wrist. She's a lifelong baseball fan, taught herself how to hold and throw the ball. And yeah, like I said, she went to the Orioles and the Nationals. She met Dexter Fowler, Bryce Harper. And her goal is she wants to set the Guinness record for the most first pitches in a game. So far, she's got two. So to me, that show is dope.
No, that is dope. I mean, anytime you have someone who is dealing with any type of handicap or a medical issue, and it's a kid in particular, you got to do the best you can to put a smile on their faces. You have no idea how long they're going to be with us. In this case, she's probably going to be around as you didn't mention cancer in there, but still, she's got the disability. But for her to already have hit two, and she's got a few more lined up, mm-hmm. Hopefully she can get that done. That's a great goal to have, and her parents and I guess her support team around her is doing a good job. That is dope. Absolutely. All right, we'll change the mood here and go to Randolph, New Jersey. School officials there say dozens of students were detained in order to undergo blood and urine testing after a can of beer, a single can of beer, was discovered at a New Jersey high school football game. Okay, wow. We got a football game, tons of fans, right? Hundreds of fans, one can of beer. Somebody drank that beer. How do you know that beer wasn't there from some bums that just came off the street and shared it when the game wasn't on? Well, anyway, their superintendent, Jennifer Faino, said in a letter posted on the district website that the can was found Friday night near a student section in the bleachers. So what they did was they summoned all the students with their parents, called them over to be screened for alcohol. Students who refused in the screening faced a suspension under the school district policy. So this is serious stuff. Faino says investigators were reviewing video posted on social media of the students drinking before the game. Okay, so they're spying on the students here. They're taking away the fun of kids being students at a high school football game. Faino has apologized to students who tested negative. I'm sorry, you weren't the one. She says the school board would pay for the test of testing those students. Now, okay, you're in high school. All right, you're underage, so you're not supposed to drink until you're 21. All right, but you're going to smuggle in some beer, a little sauce here and there. You want to throw a few back. And it's not, I'm not saying it's cool, but a can of beer is found under the stands. We know those students were drinking. They were sharing that one can. Yeah, okay. Did they pass a straw around? I mean, a can of beer. To me, this ain't dope. You are a dope head. If you're Faino and company back in New Jersey, that's unbelievable and unacceptable.
See, I didn't know we could do a negative spin like the dope head, because I got plenty of those. Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous. Where was this again?
In Randolph, New Jersey.
Wow. It just seemed like... I'm just surprised at the area. It seemed like it would come from some, you know, like a town with like 20
in the
people
Midwest.
Or something. Yeah, there, yeah.
And sorry for those of you from the Midwest.
Sorry, yeah.
Someplace in Iowa.
Pete said it, not me.
Wisconsin, Nebraska, where there's a really offbeat small town.
Yeah.
Offbeat place in Florida, whatever the case. But we're talking back in New Jersey. Maybe Randolph, New Jersey is offbeat.
Must be. Ironically, wasn't yesterday National Beer Day, I think? Or it's today? Yeah, I don't even like beer for the record, but I don't even really drink, but I mean, come on. That's just a normal thing.
What do you mean
thing.
You don't drink?
I'm not a big drinker.
You don't drink ever?
Like, occasionally. I don't do too
well. Oh, you
well
do something.
It. Not a,
you ain't doing beer, you're doing something else, homie.
Legal? Sure. Anyway.
Step on.
Moving right along. Mine is actually about Jared Leto, if you're familiar. He's the actor. he's infamous for his method preps for acting all kind of different roles, so... the story is, for Blade Runner 2049, he's using special contact lenses to temporarily impair his vision. And from the looks of it, he's like picking this outside of the...
That's this rapper guy who decided to look at the... Oh, wait, wait, let me make sure I got the same story. Say it again now.
No, no, this is Jared Leto. He's a... He's
okay,
a,
I'm sorry.
He's a, an
it's
actor.
It's a different story.
No, it's all right. He's an actor. He's, like I said, he's infamous for his preparation. So he's walking around blind, basically, literally, with these special contact lenses to get into the role.
Oh.
I just think... And then it also mentioned, you know, some of his other roles that he's done before. He gained 67 pounds, excuse me, to play Mark David Chapman. He ate ice cream mixed with olive oil and soy sauce every night. Ended up getting gout from it and was in a wheelchair for a little while. And he also got like super stick thin for a drug addict role he played for Requiem of the Dream. I just, you know, I'm an artist and I'm not an actor, but that kind of dedication in anything, but especially acting, I don't care what kind of, this is why they get that kind of money. That to me gets no doper than that.
Yeah, that is pretty dope. I mean, when you, hey, look what happened to the dude who played the Joker, that actor. I mean, yep. This dude killed himself. I mean, the character killed him. When you have an actor who goes all in, and you have actors sometimes who, like Sly Stallone, who would have to gain all this weight, I don't know, probably juiced up to get the body ripped when he was playing Rambo and also Rocky. Yeah, you're all in. Don't lose your life because of it.
That's Omar from The Wire. Actually, he got, I forget the actor, Michael something Johnson, K. Johnson, I think. But he actually got hooked onto coke. He was playing a vicious, amazing drug dealer. You know, the guy was like just this epic, villainous guy. And he was phenomenal at it. And he got so good into it that he...
He got hooked on the yayo.
Yeah, man. Speaking of dope.
All right. Yeah, that's dope when a guy gets himself into the character. But to get gout, ouch.
That's rough.
Steve Smith, wide receiver, who, you talk about a badass. This dude, badass. Straight out of, not Compton, but Watts in L.A. Steve Smith Sr. Okay, now he's not going to be retiring as a Panther anytime soon, but he still can enjoy good things in life, right? Well, when he was a kid in L.A., he used to always... Well, he worked at a Taco Bell, but then as he progressed in life, ended up going up to Utah, and he would come back home, he would always drive by that Taco Bell. So he said the drive-through at rush hour was just like a two-minute drill for him. So he would always drive back by that Taco Bell that he used to work at. So what he did was he went in there and worked for free just recently. He put the outfit on, went through the drive-through window, taking orders. This is Steve Smith. Steve Smith, remember he punched a teammate in his mouth and busted his lip up? Beat up a couple of other teammates. This dude, you talk about a tough guy receiver. He's only about 5'9", but he, tough guy, badass, and no faking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Very respected by his teammates. Anyway, so he decided, you know what, I'm going back in there. So... He's in there, and I'm looking at him right now as he's getting orders together. He's got the gloves on, the cap on. He looks like a kid, for one. So if you don't recognize him as a football player, you might think he's just another McDonald's employee. Excuse me, Taco Bell employee, but no, not the case. It's Steve Smith, Steve Smith Sr., and he's doing his thing at the drive-thru back in Los Angeles where he was as a kid. He's putting in hours, pounding it for free. Steve Smith Sr., give me a couple of soft chicken tacos, some guacamole on the side. That'd be dope.
Yeah, I like that story. That's humbling too, like to see someone that's down to do that. I was really hoping it was Stephen A. Smith. He could use a little work at some Taco Bell.
No comment.
No comment. Okay. All right.
This Steve Smith I like.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just kidding.
Back okay. In Taco Bell, baby.
Awesome. Okay, this is fun. Barstool Sports got 60,000 clown face Roger Goodell towels out to the fans in 1 hour on Wednesday and another 10,000 on Thursday for the game. It's like a Deflategate retribution. Quick disclaimer, I'm not a Pats fan. I actually can't stand Pats. They're smug fans. They whine anytime anything goes wrong. But I hate Roger Goodell more. So, to me, this is pretty dope. They had a billboard promoting it. People drove from out of town 4 hours. Can't get any better than that.
Well, in the end, the clown face got the last laugh, didn't he? He was at Foxborough yesterday, and that was the first time he's been there. He was at a preseason game last year, but since Deflategate, he decided not to go to any games last year. Probably a smart idea. But they got the clown faces out there for him, and he's in the stands up in a nice press box. And if he stayed around for that fourth quarter, he got the last laugh, clown face or not.
Yeah.
Whether you like him or not, I'm sorry, because
I know.
Dropped the ball in that fourth quarter, didn't they?
Yep.
All right, lighters down. Back with the final go round after this.
Now back to Game On, Seat Williams.
Clocking in at about 3:53 as we give you the final go round, brought to you by Reliable Banner, reliablebanner.com. Ezekiel Elliott. Boy, did he catch a break. We were talking about this briefly at the back end of that last set with George Cole. But he got the temporary restraining order that he wanted. So as of right now, this thing will be revisited, they say, maybe every 3 or 4 weeks. But it's not going to get in the way of him playing. So it's a win-win for him. And we'll find out what type of person he can become now. Can he be a model student? On the field, we have no worries about Zeke. He's going to get it done. He's going to get another probably 14-plus 100 yards, if not more than that, because he's behind the premier offensive line in football, the Dallas Cowboys. Sunday night, you'll see that on display against the G-Men. However, as a person, I've had my reservations about him. Just too many times he's in headlines in the wrong manner. So we'll see how that turns out. All right, thanks to my good friend Ari, also George Cole, Aliante County North. I'm Seed Williams. Remember, folk, keep your chin tucked low, guards up high. We'll see you on the radio more of the show Monday here on NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Game on.